All right, as previously stated, we're so happy to have Brother Sid and Sister Jessica Murish, who are going to be sharing some great things with us tonight. We greatly appreciate this family, Brother Sid, Sister Jessica, and Jessany, too. This is a great family who has offered their help to our church and anything that we have needed. They are truly a blessing. And with that said, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over now to Brother Sid. Brother Sid, go right ahead, sir.
Thank you, Brother Vic. Praise the Lord, Church. I want to wish everybody a happy Friday. We're going into the weekend, which is great. I hope everybody's doing well out there. I want to give honor to our pastor and Sister Clark. They are an amazing couple, amazing people that we could always turn to. We love them a lot and so grateful to have them in our lives. I want to give honor to our church, everybody in our church. Everybody in our church is, they're amazing. All the testimonies that we hear, it's awesome to have everybody in the church and to be a part of it. And I want to give honor to my family, to Jessica. There's a lot of things that I wouldn't be able to do without her. And Jessany, she's an amazing little girl, and I know God's got special things for her. What I want to do is, I guess, give kind of a testimony. I want to give a little bit of background before I got into church. So I don't know if most of you know, but I speak Spanish. I speak fluent Spanish. My dad grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah. My dad is as white as they come. He's not a lick of Spanish. That's where he grew up, and until he was a teenager, that's when they moved down here. And my mom's from San Jose, Costa Rica, and that's where I get the Spanish from. But my mom, her upbringing, she was extremely poor. Their family was extremely poor. Mud houses. They would use vegetables as toys. However you can think of poverty, that's how they were. When my mom was, I believe when she was 20 years old, she got a student visa and she came to the United States. And she started coming to school out here. And ultimately, she met my father, which was interesting because he did not know one word of Spanish, and she did not know one word of English. But yet it worked. They've been married now for almost 47 years, which is amazing. I think they've been together almost 50 years, which is awesome. So that's where they're at. My dad obviously was grown. He grew up Mormon. My mom, she's Catholic. And me growing up, I was I went to Catholic the Catholic Church, and that's how I grew up until about my young 20s. When I reached about 20, 21. Just kind of stopped going to church, kind of doing my own thing. I guess you could say just living out in the world, figuring things out, working and going out and going out with friends and all that good stuff. Ultimately, though, I met Jessica. I met Jessica, I believe, when I was 26 years old. Somewhere in there. And Jessica, when I met her, at first she didn't really want to talk to me. It's kind of funny. She didn't really want to talk to me. She actually had told some friends that she eventually just like, oh, I'll just give this guy a chance or whatever it may be. But eventually, we started dating. I apologize for the dog. Sorry. Give me 1 second. Sorry about that. Anyway, sorry. So Jessica and I, we started dating in 2007. In 2010, we got married. And about that time, we had kind of gone out in the world and doing our own little thing. Eventually, though, we got back into church. Well, Jessica actually started taking me to church. Jessica was in church. I got into church, and a totally new thing to me. Obviously, never had experienced something like this, the apostolic way. It was all new, and I had a lot of questions. Thankfully, they've all been answered, which is great. But they all, you know, just very new, very different. With that being said, though, I stuck to church, kept coming, and there was a service on the week before January 28, 2012, and there was tongues given. And unfortunately, I don't remember what was really said, but that week I knew I had to be baptized, and I knew it was something I wanted to do. And so the following week, I wanted to get baptized. And I remember that day clearly, that I remember sitting in the pew when service started, and I was real antsy. It was something that I wanted. I wanted to do it, and I couldn't wait to do it. And so January 28th, 2012, I was baptized in the name of Jesus. And it was an awesome feeling, and I felt renewed. I felt great. You have all the burdens lifted off your shoulder, and it's exactly that. You get to start new. Jessica and I, we were in church. Things were going well, and then slowly the family, we started having a little bit of struggles. Jessica and I were having our issues, and if you guys know from our last, Jessica's last testimony, her and I had to go through some stuff, and Jessica ultimately got sick. And it was for her an eye-opening to get back into church. But it wasn't just for her. It was for me, too. You know, I'm watching my wife go through this, whatever it was, just not being right as far as her health. And it was a struggle. It's scary. You don't know what's going on. And, you know, obviously the person you love going through this, it's heartbreaking and it's hard. And, you know, obviously it was something that she got through. And, you know, we got back to church. And, you know, one of the big things was when I got back to church, I decided to, you know what, there's got to be a lifestyle change. From watching TV, listening to music, there were things that I still like to do. Occasionally, I would go with friends, and I would go to poker games, and I like to play poker, and you know, I got rid of all that stuff. One thing that I am grateful is that I was never into drugs. I did drink, but I was never like an alcoholic. It was just, if I drank, it was for social reasons, but I never had to drink just to drink. You know, and that was, I'm I guess the gratefulness out of that is that I was able to quit drinking easily. I was able to just cut it off, and I had never any worries about it. So that was something that was real easy to do. And then the one thing that was hard was I had to cut my friends off. And that was one of the biggest things. I cut friends off. It was hard. And, you know, even at that time, I'm kind of like, you know, it's hard to do this. But ultimately, I knew it was for the best. It was the best for me, the best for my family, the best for my daughter. And, you know, ultimately, I know friends see the way I live now. And I know that they see the blessings. They see the change. I don't talk to a lot of them, but I know they know that I live a better life. And I have a scripture here. Obviously, it's one that we all know. It's John 2:15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And that's absolutely true. If we're not living for God, if we're living for the world, we're not living for God. And it's obviously not the right thing to do. And I know living for God is an amazing thing. It's a great thing. It's a powerful thing. And I'm happy to be in the church, and I'm happy to live for God now. I have another scripture, Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I know that serving God now, it's for the better. It's for the better of my family and for myself. And I see the blessings behind it. God has blessed us with a job, a house, and you know what? Ultimately, I was blessed with obviously the greatest thing that I could receive. January 26th of 2020, Sunday morning service, we went in, and there was a couple things I remember about that day. One, it was very overcast. It wasn't raining, but there was overcast, and it was just, as far as the day was concerned, it seemed kind of dark. And so I'm sitting in service, and right at the end of service, I received a text message. This is kind of during the altar call. And the message I got was, hey, did you hear about Kobe? Referring to Kobe Bryant. And obviously Kobe had passed that morning in a helicopter crash. And I have never been one to feel bad or have any emotion over celebrities passing. I've never been that way. Big celebrities have passed, and I've felt any different about it. I am a big sports person, and so hearing about Kobe, with him, it did affect me. I was a little bit affected by it, and I remember getting home and you know, with the overcast and hearing that, I just I felt sad about it. And we just stayed home, and eventually we got ready for night service. We go to night service, and even in service, the night service, I didn't feel right. But that was ultimately the best thing that could happen. That service, the message was great. And then we went into altar call. And there was such a powerful move of God. It was so amazing. And I go down front, and this is, I apologize, Brother Farron was there. That's when he was there. But I go down front, and I start praying, and it was great. It felt good, and I got a touch. And eventually, I went back to my seat. And at that time, the lights in the sanctuary they were still on. And the move of God was just going and going and going. And eventually, Pastor asked for the lights to be turned down. And the lights were turned down. And as soon as they were turned down, there was just I don't know if it was in my mind or if it really happened, but there was such it was like a loud roar. I don't know if it came from the saints that were praying or if it's something that I just heard, and I actually got scared. And I thought, this is it. This is it. Everybody's going to be gone in front of me. I truly, truly thought that. I go, the coming, it's here. God's going to be here, and I'm going to close my eyes, and when I open them, everybody's going to be gone. And I bolted to the front of the church, and I started praying, and Brother Farron got into my ear, and I was able to block. I know a lot of you know that. It seems like when I was praying, every time I would pray, I felt like I was getting distracted or whatever it may be, but not this time. And eventually, on January 26, 2020, I was filled with the Holy Ghost. And it was such an amazing feeling. I absolutely love it. There's nothing greater that I could ask for. And I thank God for that, and thank God for everything that he's done. The thing now for me is, that was such an amazing day, but now that I know that I'm fully invested in church, I'm fully invested in God, I see my church family. That the church is my family. I have my mom and dad. I love them. They're my family. But I have my church family. And I absolutely love my church family. Everybody in church is amazing people. And there's nothing that I wouldn't do for anybody in the church. And I love each and every one of you. You guys everybody means a lot to me. I also want to encourage the saints to do more in the church. That's something for me. Now that I feel that I'm this is it. I'm going to be in church, and this is where I'm going to be. So I want to do the best I can to help the church, and I encourage everybody to do the same. Whether it's helping around the church, helping other saints. And, one of the biggest things you can do to help the church is whatever pastor asks, just do it. Pastor knows best. And, if you don't agree with it, you are definitely helping the church if you're just submitting to pastor. And it's an amazing thing. I can't say this. Philippians 2:4. Sorry. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And I believe that. I get great joy out of helping others, and I get great joy out of helping the church. And I'm definitely gonna. This is where I'm gonna be at. The church is my home, and I plan on staying there.
Amen.
I love each and every one of you. You're all amazing, and thank you, Jesus, for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Sid. And we know that you get great joy in helping people and helping the church. Thank you so much for that great testimony, Brother Sid. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to bring on now Sister Jessica. Sister Jessica, are you there? Can you hear me?
I'm here, Brother Vic. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. Go right ahead, sister.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm wiping my tears away because, you know, hearing my husband after all these years filled with the Holy Ghost is such a joy to me. And to hear him testify in church, it got to me. I'm sorry. And just so happy and just thankful to God for what he's doing in Sid's life. Today I wanted to just talk quickly here about a rededication to prayer. I just want to give you a little situation that happened to me earlier this year. I had gotten a new job with Kaiser late last year, August, and was real busy, focused on the job, trying to get hired. They use only contractors. And kind of test you out, see if they like you or not. So everyone is vying for a position and, you know, jockeying for a position, and it's very competitive. And I had a lot of my focus go into that job, and I do believe God opened that door for me 100%. And but at the same time, I noticed that my prayer life had, suffered, and it didn't have to suffer, absolutely not, but just being busy and the cares of life and family and a new job, it's something that I allowed to happen. So I want to kind of borrow what Sister Gina said when she gave her testimony. She said she was living off of surface prayers, you know, and I found myself in that same situation for a period of time there, especially December, January is the busy month for Kaiser, for open enrollment, for what I do, and for a three-month period span or whatever, I felt like I was living off of surface prayers and living off of, you know, church pre-service prayer to the next, and I just felt God tugging at me, at my heart, and saying, you know what, it's time to get back, you know, it's time to get back to prayer, it's just time, you know, when God deals with you, you know it, you could feel it, but also another thing had happened during that time, I was reacquainted or reconnected with a childhood father figure, from my teens, and I looked up to this man as a father, along with my stepdad, and he meant a lot to me, and I was able to get into to reconnect with him, I think, in February of this year, and we got to texting, and, you know, what's up, how's life, you know, the basics, when you haven't seen someone in many years. And he told me, he said, hey, you know, send me a picture of you and your family. I want to see what your family looks like and, you know, what you look like now all grown up. And so I sent him a picture, and he texted back, and he said, oh, nice family. But he said, but you're not praying. And I had to reread that text again. And it said, but you're not praying. I could see it on your countenance. You're not praying. And it just pricked my heart the more because I knew God was dealing with me to get back to him daily in prayer, uninterrupted prayer. So when he said that, I just said, you know what, Lord? It's time. I'm going to do it. And it's time to, there's no excuses no more. There's, you know, life cannot be that busy to where, you know, we're not praying, you know, we're not getting alone with God. And when it does happen, unfortunately, it's not a good feeling, and God will nudge you. And that was what was happening with me. So it was a clear sign, you know, to me that God was dealing with me. And so then that was February. So come March, we ushered into COVID, and everything started shutting down. People started working at home. Something else had happened, and that was our neighbors, Trish and Ed, who are close to us, and they love us to pieces, and we love them to pieces, and they know that we go to church and, you know, we follow God. When this COVID thing started, there was a lot of fear that they were expressing, and one day they came over. We were outside, and they came over, and they said, they were asking me and Sid and I, what do you guys think about all this? How do you feel, you know? And it was just those honest questions that they had, because they did have fear that they were dealing with. And I believe that because they knew we went to church, they wanted to ask us. And this is scripture about that I want to read. And it's 1 Peter 3:15. And it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And you know what? At that moment, at that point in time when they were asking us, I felt like I could have done a better job, you know, had I been in prayer and communion with God. Yes, you know, I was able to, you know, witness, but I know deep down I could have done a better job, and I could have had a little bit more confidence behind some of my answers to them. And so that also pricked me, you know, hey, it's time to get back into prayer, you know. This is COVID. COVID is happening. You know, it's time. It's time to be hot and right with God and you know, be in communion with God for others. Others are going to need it. Others are going to need us to lean on and to draw strength from, and even up to leading into salvation. So that had happened. So I started to, you know, get back into prayer slowly, and setting time aside, one-on-one time with God, and redeveloping that prayer life. But one day after I prayed, I came to my room. I think we've all done this. I do it quite a bit. I'll close my eyes and I'll just kind of flip the Bible and see what verse I land on. And I really just want to hear a word from the Lord. And I did that. And the verse that I landed on was Exodus 12:15. And I'll read that to you. And it says, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. So I read that and I thought, okay, that doesn't pertain to me. And I closed the Bible. And I said, okay, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to close my eyes and flip through the pages and see what else I can come up on. And lo and behold, I came up on the same exact scripture. So I reread it again, and I said, okay, Lord, what do I need to see in the scripture? And the part that really stood out to me, that began to stand out, is the part that says, ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. And I thought, okay, leaven in the Bible, we all know leaven represents sin, okay? I don't know of any sin that's in my house per se, but you know what? I had a lot of weights that were besetting me from prayer. I had a lot of things that I was giving my time to that was the reason that I wasn't in communion with the Lord like he wants us all to be. And it started making sense to me, the scripture, put away the things from your houses that aren't, you know, and pastor says it all the time, you know, there's things that aren't expedient. They may not be outright sins, but they're just not expedient to our walk with God. It could be anything. It could be shopping too much. It can be devices. It can be, you know, fixing up your home, dedicating too much time to your home. It could be so many things. And it's just what's taking your time. It can also not be expedient. So that scripture started making sense to me. And I did believe God spoke to me through that scripture. And there were things that may have not been outright sin, but they might as well be. If you're not in communion with God over these things, it might as well be, in my opinion, in my eyes. So I did begin to rededicate in my prayer life to the Lord. I also made a push to, you know, cancel the things that rob my time with God. And I know it pleases God when we find our one-on-one time with him, the quiet, interrupted, you know, uninterrupted time. As a backslider, you face a lot of, you know, you face certain darts from the enemy. He loves to tell you things like, you blew it. You'll never have what you used to have. You know, as we know, those are all lies. They're all lies. And I'm also reminded of a sermon that Pastor preached about 2 or 3 years ago. And I remember it because it hit me, because that's kind of where I was at that time. Pastor basically was saying, you know, as a backslider coming back to the Lord, you know, you have a lot of things that you have to overcome. A lot of it, you know, is just spiritual and, you know, mental things. But he says how you overcome, you know, as a backslider coming back is through new experiences and prayer, new experiences. And it's so true, church. It is so true. You know, when you get into prayer and you do have a lot of feelings and things you just got to shake off, you know, if you could just find your place in prayer with God, you will have new experiences and they will start to build your faith. They'll start to, you know, heal whatever it is that you're dealing with. And it's just true. And it's the experiences, the new experiences in God that'll get you past all those feelings and past all those negative thoughts. The devil loves nothing more than to beat you down and keep you there. And that's what he wants. We know God forgives us when we come back. We know he forgives us, but sometimes we forget to forgive ourselves as well, you know. And, you know, we got to forgive ourselves of the shortcomings and move on, you know. There's refreshing in prayer. When you push back all the noise in life, you begin to hear God clearer. You know, when you just stop, when you stop all the extra stuff, the unnecessary stuff, and you decide to make time for the Lord, you're going to hear from him. Sometimes prayer is easy, and it's as if God is there waiting for you. And it's so easy just to walk in and touch him sometimes. And sometimes you have to find the vein that he wants you in. But when you do, it's great. He can use you in intercessory prayer. He can use you for different things sometimes when you have to seek it out, when it's not always easy. Sometimes those are the most rewarding times from my experience. There's a scripture that I want to end with. I'm not going to read it, but I'm just going to reference it. It's from the prophet Isaiah. It's found in the book of Isaiah 64:6. And he basically talks about how we're all, even in our righteousness, even when we're doing right and we're praying and we're paying our tithes and we're going to church every service, even in our righteousness, we're filthy rags. We're filthy rags. And that gives me perspective. It really does. It helps me balance everything out. And I've incorporated that into my praying. And, you know, I tell the Lord, I'm but a filthy rag, Lord. You know, keep me humble. Keep me, you know, with humility, Lord. But show me experiences. Show me. Take me to new places, Lord. And that's it. That's all I have. Thank you. And I did want to say in the beginning, and I forgot to say, I am so blessed by these testimonies and devotions. And I have just enjoyed them. And I'm so glad Pastor and ministry have worked it out to allow them to continue, because they have been such a blessing in my life. God bless.
And thank you, Sister Jessica and Brother Sid, and you and your family has been a blessing to us and to our church. As Brother Sid began, he made a few comments. First of all, we want to thank you for opening up with your personal stories and the reminder that when we come into the church, we need to make decisions and part ways with old lifestyles. Thank you. Thank you for that, Brother Sid. And on a quote that Brother Sid made here was, "Nothing greater that I could ask for. I am fully vested in God. I am fully vested in our church." Praise God for that. And something Sister Jessica talked about, which is the reminder. And thank you, Sister Jessica, for reminding us of a new call to prayer, for a new call to prayer. Praise God. Church, why don't we just thank God right now for what we've heard tonight and for reminding us that we need to find that place in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Brother Sid, Sister Jessica, and little Jessany, for this family, Lord God, and the blessing that they have been to our church, Lord God. We can hear the sincerity and the honesty in their voices and the genuine spirit to want to do something for your kingdom, Lord God. We ask you to bless them and help them in the name of Jesus. And with that said, church, we're going to remind everybody to come back to this same conference call tomorrow morning at 10:15 a.m., where we will be hearing from Sister Clark tomorrow morning. So with that said, have a great night. God bless all of you. Amen.